Last week we left off on Daf Nun Hey on the base, about 15 lines from the top, and the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah, again, just to review, the Mishnah is giving us the details of the din of Tchum Shabbos. If a person lives all by himself in a wilderness, so he only has Alpay Mama around his house. He draws a circle. If you have a city, and a city means that you have Gimel Chatzer, a minimum of Gimel Chatzeris, each chotzer has to have a minimum of shnei batim, and these gimel chatzeres have to either be contiguous, touching each other, or they have to be within 70 amas to each other. So then you have al pidin an ear. So then you draw, every ear is in the shape of a rectangle, and then the tchum Shabbos is al pai mama, right, a rectangle around that rectangle. So let's say if you have a lot of houses all together, a cluster of houses, so that all the houses are within 70 amas to each other, so they're all mitzvah from Yachad to be considered one year. Then if you have another house in the middle on the north, so if it's within 70 amas to the other houses, then the city limit keeps on going further. Another house. So the northernmost point of the city is the top of all of those houses. What if they're not houses where people live? What if they're... you have in front of a lot of in front of the yeshiva, they have a little room where the guard sits. So let's say you have a room for the guard, or you have a shul and there's a room for the super, or you have a church and there's a room for the galach to sleep over there. So it's basically not really a beis dira, but it has a beis dira in it. Or you have a cemetery and there's a little booth where the guard eats and sleeps in the cemetery. So the Mishnah says all of these are considered batim. And if that little booth is within 70 amas to the other houses of the city, so then you'll keep on extending the city limits, right. So the Gemara is going to work on the details. What if you have an old house that fell apart, it doesn't have a roof anymore, it just has the four walls? So the Gemara said, that's also okay. And what if you don't even have four walls? What if you only have three walls? Three walls is also okay. What if you only have two walls? The Gemara is going to say, if you have two walls, whether the two walls are parallel to each other, the two walls are at right angle to each other, if you have a roof on top, if you have two walls with a roof, that's also considered shtikala. Not exactly. Okay. We have a din in Hilchos Rishus HaYochid. There is a din of Pitikra Yorid V'Soysen. It's really later, it's Tzadik Dalet. So there are different opinions. So there will be Paschal like Tosus. So Tosus says if you have two walls that are right angle to each other, and you have a roof on top of it, a lot of times the bus shelter is constructed like that. You have two plastic walls that go down within three tefachim to the ground. If the walls don't reach within three tefachim to the ground, you don't have any walls al pi din. If it's suspended more than three tefachim above the ground, is not considered a mechitzah at all. But I think a lot of times these two walls that are right angle to each other do reach within three tefachim to the ground. Then you have a roof on top. So then Halacha says that you have a right to say Pi HaTikra, the edge of the wall, the edge of the roof, is Yorid V'Soysem for the third and the fourth wall. If you have two walls that are parallel to each other, and you have a roof on top, you can't say Pi Tikra Yorid V'Soysem on the two walls that are opposite each other. Only if you have two like this. So that's Benegia to applying the rule. That's all Tosis later on shows from Gemara. That Gemara happens not to be Tosis later in Erev and quotes this from a Gemara in Sukkot. Gemara Sukkah makes a distinction that you only say Pitik Yorid V'Soysem if the two are kemin gam, L-shaped, as opposed to parallel to each other. So the Gemara says over here, where's that Tosis? That's here. On Tzadik Dalet on the base, Tosis has all the details about Pitik Yorid V'Soysem. Okay. So the our Gemara is going to say that even though there is such a distinction with respect to Pitik Yorid V'Soysem, but when it gets to this, then it's irrelevant. If you have three walls, you don't need a roof. and it's considered a beis dira to extend the city limits if it's with this little thing with the three walls is within 70 amas to another house, which is within 70 amas to another house, etc., etc. Or if you have two walls with a roof, it doesn't matter whether the two walls are parallel to each other, two walls are right angle to each other, two walls with a roof is also considered a high scala. It's also considered a booth.
What about the rain? You have a roof.
In the summertime, it can be used. If it's going to be raining, it won't be useful. Okay, but as long as you have a booth that's useful a little bit, even in the summertime, it's not raining. It's also called a beis dira. So that's where the Gemara is going to go on the details. So the Mishnah uses an expression that's never used. The Mishnah says, here the Mishnah is on Nun Beis on the Beis. The last line on the Ho Yusham Gidudios Gibos Hasorat Fochim. You have a building and the building collapsed. So you have walls that are left over. And the walls are 10 Fochim tall. So even though nobody really uses it, but since it's Roy Lehishtamshus, so then the Mishnah says you extend Matsimus Amida Kinegdom. You extend the city limits if these little booths are within 70 amas to the rest of the houses. So the Gemara wants to know the details. My gedudios, exactly what does it look like? That's around 15 lines from the top on Nun Hamin Beis. So the Gemara has these details. Amrav Yudah Sholosh Mechitza Shein Aleim Tikva. You had a house that had four walls with a roof. So the roof collapsed, goodbye roof. And one of the four walls collapsed, so no more four walls. You only have three walls with no roof. So das ginuk. So now the Gemara wants to know, how far can you push your luck over here? Boy, what if you only have shtei mechitzas, you only have two walls, v'yesh aleim tikra mao. If you only have two walls where they're parallel to each other, right angle to each other, with no roof, that's not called a beis dira. What if you have two walls, either like this or like that, it does make a difference, but you do have a roof on top. Is that the equivalent of three walls with no roof or not? So the Gemara says, yes. Toshma, let's prove from the Tosefta, from a Braisa. Elushim isabri mimo, the following structures accomplish Iburi Shalir. We said Iburi Shalir, you extend the city, either like an Isha Muberes, that she extends her body, or like an Aver, an extra limb added on, either with an Aleph or with an Ein. So there, the Gemara keeps on writing with an Ein. The following structures, Misabri Mimo, extend the city limits. Nefesh is a Matseva. When you bury people, so you put a Matseva. And they used to sometimes have a booth for a god in the cemetery. So if you have a Nefesh, if you have a booth next to the Matseva, Shiyeshbo, it was a gigantic Matseva that has a booth in it. The Matseva has a booth, not the way we make Matsevas. Nefesh, Shiyeshbo, Dalaramas, or Dalaramas. That's the Gemara at the beginning of Sukkah, beginning of Masechah Sukkah. It says, in order to be considered a Sukkah, is a Machlekes HaTanaim. What's the minimum size the inside of the Sukkah has to be? So one Tana is of the opinion has to be minimum size, Dalaramas al Dalaramas. That's gigantic. Many people sit in the Sukkah that's much smaller than Dalaramas, because we don't accept that opinion. The Gemara says, that opinion that a Sukkah has to have a minimum size of Dalaramas or Dalaramas on the floor, that follows the opinion that a sukkah must be a Diras Keva. The Gemara has a Machlekes Satanam, Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yudah says a sukkah must be a Diras Keva, Bedavke and the Chacham says a sukkah must be a Diras Aroi. So the Gemara says that 98% of all the sukkahs are good. Rabbi Yudah says it's good because any sukkah he looks at, 98% will say it's good because Rabbi Yudah says, yeah, it's good because it's a Diras Keva. Rabbanan says it's good because it's a Diras Aroi. So they both say the same thing. So Lamai Nafkamina, whether you call it Diras Keva, Diras Aroi. Nafkamina is where you have to put a mezuzah when you make a sukkah.
Diras Keva means permanent, Diras Aroi is temporary. I mean, how could it be the same thing?
So 98% of all the sukkahs, Rabbi Yudah says that Diras Keva, the Rabbanan say Diras Aroi. 1% of them are absolutely Diras Aroi, and 1% are absolutely Diras Keva. So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Sukkah starts off, you have a sukkah that's more than 20 yamas tall. More than 20 amas tall is very, very tall. More than 20 amas tall, very tall. 35 feet tall. How tall is a normal thing? 10 feet tall.
That's three stories.
Yeah, three stories tall. So it's abnormal. So the Gemara gives different explanations. What's wrong with a sukkah that's gvoil amayla mesaman? What's wrong? So one of the three explanations is that it has to be adiras keva. You can't make adiras aroi if it's more than 20 amas tall. So in such a sukkah that's absolutely a diras keva, the Rabbanan would say it's possible, because they hold the sukkah is only good if it's diras aroi. 98% of the sukkahs they look at, they say it is diras arayin. Rabbi Yehuda says, looks at the same sukkah, he says it's kosher because it's diras keva. But the Rabbanim would argue 1% of the cases, they'll argue is this case. If you have a sukkah gvoi l'mal meser mama, that's absolutely l'chol ha'deis, that's a diras keva, and the Rabbanim would say it's no good. And then 1% of all the sukkahs in the world will be absolutely diras arayin. Let's say you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah, and the people sitting in the upper sukkah are sitting on the schach of the lower sukkah, and the schach keeps on wobbling, and you're almost ready to fall through, but you're not breathing too heavily. So that's absolutely diras arayin. The Gemara says that's absolutely diras arayin. So the Chachamim would say that's fine. A sukkah is supposed to be diras arayin, and if it's diras arayin, it's kosher l'mahadrin. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's absolutely diras arayin. It's possible. A sukkah must be diras keva. The Gemara says 98% of all the sukkahs, they both accept. Rabbi Yehuda says because he declares it as diras keva, Rabbanan declared the same sukkah as diras arayin. And 1% over here, 1% over there, that's where they argue that it's absolutely diras keva, that's absolutely diras arayin. And the 98% that they all agree is good, and they argue, why is it good that we declare it as diras arayin, diras keva? So the Gemara says the nafkamina ledina would be whether you need a mezuzah. Because the mitzvah of mezuzah only applies if you live in an apartment diras keva. Saftma mezuzah beisecho, bisharecha has the connotation, beisecho has the connotation of diras keva. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you put up a sukkah just for the week of sukkahs, that's diras keva, and you must put on a mezuzah. We don't pass like that. We pass that a sukkah has to be a diras arayin. It's not allowed to be a diras keva. If it's diras keva, it's possible. But 98% of all the sukkahs in the world, 99% we declare are diras arayin. There's only a rare case that's going to be diras arayin. So we paskin, you don't put a mezuzah. So the Gemara has a few more nafkaminas ledina. You have this basic machlekes where the sukkah has to be diras keva, has to be diras arayin, and the nafkamina for the 1% case over there, 1% case over there, nafkamina for mezuzah. The Gemara has another nafkamina. What's the minimum size that the sukkah has to have? If a sukkah has to be like Rabbi Yehuda claims, diras keva, then a bayis has to have a minimum of dalaramas or dalaramas. Less than dalaramas doesn't count for anything. The Gemara says, what do you mean? So the Gemara says, for mezuzah, you're not mechuyev to put a mezuzah on a room if the room is less than dalaramas or dalaramas. Then the Gemara has an afkamina for Tchum Shabbos, when you're extending the city limits. If you have a bayis and another bayis and another bayis and another bayis, every bayis is within 70 amas and so on and so forth, the whole picture of the city, every bayis must have a minimum of dalar amas or dalar amas.
You don't put a mezuzah on a closet, though.
Right, unless it's a walk-in closet. If it's not a walk-in closet, you're still in the hallway, you take things out and you put things in.
So it hasn't had the dimensions of dalar by dalar.
Right, so even if it is a walk-in closet, but it has less than dalar dalar, so you don't put a mezuzah, right? Rabbi Kivege writes a chiddush. If you have a walk-in closet that has less than dalar al dalar amas, so you don't put the mezuzah going in, but then you have to put the mezuzah coming out, because coming back into the big room, the big bedroom has dalar amas al dalar amas. So you need a mezuzah coming out from them, even though the only way to come out from the closet into the bedroom is by first going through the bedroom, then going in the closet.
The bedroom has a
Has a mezuzah on the right side going into the bedroom from the hallway, and then Rabbi Kivege writes, and many poskim agree with him that you need a mezuzah coming back in from the closet into the bedroom.
If I have a room which has an entrance exit to a hall or to a yard, I have to have mezuzah on both sides.
Yeah, every entranceway has to have a mezuzah.
Yeah.
So even though this door is only an exit. Let's say I have a house, and I always walk in the front door, and we go out the back door into the other side. The house is so big, it takes up a whole city block. So the entrance is on this side, and the exit is over there. We walk out, and we walk to the other street. Right. So you don't put a mezuzah going out on the right side from the house into the street. The street does not chayv a mezuzah. You put a mezuzah, knisa, into the... So even though I never walk in, I never enter the house from over there. I always enter here and I exit over there. It doesn't matter. You don't put a mezuzah on the exit on the right side going out. You put the mezuzah coming in.
Even though you don't use it as an entrance.
Correct. Even though you never use it as an entrance. That's correct. Because as a bottom line, it is a knisa. You could enter there. Even if it's locked. Even if whenever you close the door, it's locked. And the only way to use that door is by going from the inside out. You can never go from the outside in. Still, that's not lucky. Put the mezuzah coming in.
That's what we do with a terrace also? Terrace?
That's the famous machlokes. The din is that the Gemara says, Abayis she'ena makura. If you have a house that doesn't have a roof, so what are you going to do if it rains? So you can't use it. So the Gemara says, Abayis she'ena makura, you're not chayvim mezuzah. Because that's not a diras keva. Abayis she'ena makura, you're not chayvim mezuzah. So the Gemara says, not only to put a mezuzah on Pesach Habayis, it says in Chumash, it says in Kriyashma, Chsav to my mezuzahs, Beisecha u'bisharecha. The Beisecha means, Beisecha doesn't mean a home, it means a room. Mezuzahs Beisecha, the doorpost, the right side doorpost going into a room. U'bisharecha means Shari HaChatzeris. A person has a house in the middle, and then he has walls around the chotzer. So when he walks in, from the street into his, he had here in the neighborhood they have a lot like that. No, a lot of the Russian olim they have a whole heck of mechitza around and around. There's no roof. There's no roof around the whole chatzah. There's only a roof around the house. There's no roof around the chatzah. So the din is that you have to put a mezuzah al pesach shar hachatzah. So the Rosh frekta kasha. But the Gemara says if there's no roof, you're not chayv in mezuzah. So the chatzah never has a roof. Normal chatzah doesn't have a roof. So why are you mechayv to put a mezuzah on the shar hachotzer? So there are two answers on the kash, and it's a big machlokes which answer is the one that's the accepted answer l'alocha. So the Rosh answers that a house that doesn't have a roof is not normal. It's going to rain, so you can't use it. A chotzer that doesn't have a roof is normal. So that's why a bayis shein mekura is not chayv in mezuzah, but a chotzer shein mekura is normal. So you are mechayv in a mezuzah even though the chotzer doesn't have a roof. And other Rishonim give a different teretz. Rabbeinu Manoach wrote a commentary on the Rambam, which the Kesem Mishnah quotes every so often. And other now they printed the whole manuscript of the Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam, a running commentary, several volumes on the Rambam. So he gives a different answer on this kasha, and he says, "True, the chotzer is ainu mekure, not chayvim mezuzah on a chotzer sheinu mekure, but inside of the chotzer there's a house that's mekure." So the shar hachotzer is indirectly a shar for the bayis. It's a shar for the, it's a pesach for the bayis. Once removed, you walk through the shar hachotzer until you get into the bayis. And not only they need a mezuzah on the bayis because it's mekure, you need a mezuzah on the shar hachotzer because it's going to lead up to a bayis. So the nafkamina chaps, like you said before, what if a person has a home and he has the back door to his home leads into the backyard which has a fence around it?
Stone fence.
Going out. So do you put a mezuzah on the right side going out from the bayis into the backyard?
Yeah.
So according to the Rosh, yes. Yeah. A backyard is
or
normal.
Going
that
out
it,
from the
Rosh would say you put the mezuzah on the back door going from the house into the backyard. Yeah. Because that's normal to have a backyard without a roof. And the Rabbeinu Menach says no. Eina mekure, you don't put a mezuzah. The only reason why you put a mezuzah on the shar hachotzer is because it's leading indirectly into the bayis. But if you're going from the bayis into the backyards up there, then you don't put a mezuzah.
The Torah says specifically, b'sharecha, it has to be one of the two. Otherwise, how could it be?
So the Rabbeinu Manoach claims that b'sharecha only goes if it's the pesach hachotzer leading into the bayis. So it's indirectly...
That close by, they have a big space, no?
Big space. No, a very big space, a gigantic space. But still, it's a Pesach for the bias. Right, it's once removed. It's a Pesach to the bias, once removed. And the bias has a tikra, so you mechuyev in a mezuzah, even on the Pesach HaShar HaChotzer, because it's going to lead into the bias. But if it's not a front yard, it's a backyard, then will happen afkamina. So there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, they don't discuss the topic, but on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and the other Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch have a machlokes. Do we paskin like the Rosh, or do we paskin like the Rabbeinu Manoach? So the Chazanish thinks that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Manoach. So in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of apartments have a mirpeset. They have a gigantic porch that has dalal al dalal amis. If the porch doesn't have dalal al dalal amis, so you don't put a mezuzah going out. So then Rabbi Kivega says, yeah, but you put the mezuzah coming back in from the porch.
But to get in from the porch, you have to climb up. There's no way access except coming from the inside.
Right, so that's Rabbi Kivega claims, and many agree with Rabbi Kivega, you put the mezuzah coming back in, even though the only way to get to the porch, you can't climb up from the outside. You're going to take a helicopter, you're going to climb on a ladder. He's going to go from the apartment onto the porch. So you don't put a mezuzah going out, but he claims he put a mezuzah coming back in. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't like that. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with Rabbi Kivega. But many poskim do agree with Rabbi. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought Rabbi Kivega was right. And the Bin Yansian writes like that, and the Chazanish writes like that. Rav Moshe has tainus, he has kashis against Rabbi Kivega. So the Chazanish answers all the kashis. Chazanish asked the same kashis. He didn't have Rav Moshe Feinstein svarim. He asked all the same questions and he answered. So that's a shaila halacha lemaisa. So in Eretz Yisrael, half of the people will put a mezuzah. If you have a merpeset that's gigantic, dalaramas are dalaramas. So half the people will put the mezuzah on the right side going out onto the porch. And half the people will follow the chazanish and put the mezuzah on the right side coming back in. It means on the left side going out, because the merpeset is ena mekuris. According to Rabbeinu Manoach, ena mekuris never chayv a mezuzah, even though it's normal. And then following Rabbi Kivega, you got to put the mezuzah coming back into the apartment. That's Rabbi Kivega has that chiddush. If the mepeset is like a walk-in closet, the mepeset is less than dollar al dollar, so you don't put the mezuzah going out. So then tutu fachiddush, he says you put the mezuzah coming back in, right?
If this mepeset is mekura, but not dollar al amos, so
less than dollar al dollar is not chayv a mezuzah. No. So the Gemara says there in the beginning of Sukkah and Dav Gimel, the Gemara says bayis and kol haterakula. Take for example, it says you have to put a, if you build a house and you have a makah, you have to, and you have a roof that you use, you have to put a makah on the roof. So the mitzvah makah shtei kisivne bayis. If you have a bayis, if the bayis that you constructed is less than dalal adalit, he lives there, but the bayis is less than dalal adalam, doesn't have the status of a bayis, and you're not. There's no mitzvah makah, there's no mitzvah mezuzah, and it doesn't count to extend the city limits. Any dinim that depend on bayis. So the Gemara has, that's one of the several nafkaminas ledina, whether a sukkah has to be diras keva, a sukkah has to be diras aroi. If you would have held that it has to be diras keva, then the minimum size for a sukkah would have been dalan amas or dalan amas. We don't paskin like that. So we paskin diras aroi doesn't have to be so big. So the way we paskin, it's a machlekes Beishama and Beisila, what's the minimum size of a sukkah? Whether 6x6 tfochim or 7x7? We paskin 7x7. The Gemara assumes that Rosh HaVerubo, unless the person is very fat, but a skinny person can squeeze into a sukkah that's 6x6 tfochim. And why did Beisila paskin that the minimum size of the sukkah has to be Zion on Zion tfochim? It's not enough that you should sit Rosh HaVerubo. You have to Rosh HaVerubo Vishulchana. You have to have. He's not going to be eating too much. It's a teeny weeny shulchan. It's only a tefach by a tefach.
There's no room to sleep.
That's not a problem. So he's going to have to sleep leaning on the walls. He won't be able to lie down flat on the floor. Yeah, it's going to be very uncomfortable. So we paskin the minimum size. There are three sheetahs. Minimum size for sukkah is 6x6 tvachim. That's beishamai. Or 7x7 tvachim is beisilo. That's how we paskin. And they both hold 6x6 and 7x7 tvachim. Is very tiny, so that's, they both hold that that's diras aroi. They both hold like the chachamim diras aroi. And if you would have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that a sukkah must be a diras keva, then the Gemara quotes, then you would require a minimum size for the sukkah that it should be dalar amas al dalar amas. Yeah, so that's over here. The Gemara is assuming that these here nefesh yesh but dalar amas al dalar amas. Nefesh means a matzeva. They used to build a matzeva that had a booth. The matzeva contained a booth for a guard in the cemetery, that no one should steal the bones and no one should steal the matzevis or whatever. So if it has a booth that has the minimum size of dalaramas or dalaramas, and some once in a while people taka use it as a bias, so then if it's within 70 amas to another bias, that extends the city limits, and you can go vaita. If there's another house within 70 amas to that, you can go vaita.
You have a fence around the field. There's no button inside, and yeah. you have a shire to that fence, so that doesn't require a mezuzah.
I don't think so. Only if it's a beis dira, you have to have a beis dira.
So when it says b'sharecha, it means it has the injunction with the bayis also.
Yeah. That's a question. What's called a beis dira? So let's say you have an apartment, and one room is the children put their toys there, a shed where you keep groceries. So you go in a few times there, you go in, you take groceries out. You never do anything in that room. A storage room. A beis ha'itza. You only use it as a beis ha'itza. the entry. You only go in and take things out, you store everything there, you take it out, you don't really mishtamsh. So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, where the Beis Oitzer is chayv in mezuzah.
What about the gate to a city?
Gate to the city is also chayv in mezuzah, yeah, if it has a tzuras ha-pesach. Sometimes the gates will not have tzuras ha-pesach. Tzuras ha-pesach means when you open the door, you still have konami kami konami kami kon al gabehim. The same definition in Erevin and Daf Yiral, the same definition for tzuras ha-pesach for the purpose of making an Erev, the frame of a door, two mezuzah on the right, mezuzah on the left, and a lintel on top. So that's the same definition for the chi of mezuzah. The Gemara learns one from the other. The Gemara will learn adinim from mezuzah to Erevin, and dinim from Erevin to mezuzah. So the Shar Ha'ir, if you have houses in the middle of the city, Shar Ha'ir is also chayv in mezuzah. So the Gemara had the shaila that what? If you have sholosh, you had a house, and the house collapsed, so it no longer has a roof, and no longer has four walls, only has three walls. The Gemara said, that's fine. If you have three walls, no roof, that's called a bayis, and that is acceptable to extend the city limits. But the shaila was, what if you have two walls and it does have a tikra? Is that the equivalent to three walls without a tikra? So the Gemara said, Toshma, they're going to quote this passage from the Tosefta. So it says, the following structures can extend the city limits. It means that it's big enough, the room is big enough for a shomer to sit there. So even though the shomer is not sitting there this week, but once in a while they sit there, so that's called a beis dira, and it extends the city. Hagesher v'hakever sheyesh b'hem beis dira, same thing. You have a bridge, and you have a guard next to the bridge. Or you have a kever without a matzeva, whatever it happens to be. You have a room that has a beis dira. Beis dira by definition means dalal amas al dalal amas. Or you have a beis haknesses, a shul. So the shul is not called a beis dira. Nobody eats in the shul. Nobody sleeps in the shul. So if you have a beis haknesses sheyesh ba beis dira lechazen, lechazen doesn't mean lechazen. Lechazen means the gabbai.
The shamus.
Caretaker. Right, the caretaker. Right. So whether the caretaker is Jewish or not Jewish doesn't make a difference.
The dira.
Right. If it's a dira, so it counts as a dira. Or if you have a church, beis avodas kochim, sheyesh ba beis dira lekaimarim. They have a dormitory. They have a room for the galochim to sleep. Or what if you have urvois, you have stables, horse stables. So horse stable is not for human beings. You have a big structure for horse stables, so that doesn't count. But if you have oitzvos, if you have storage rooms, shebasodas on the fields, the yeshman beis dira, there is a room there for the people to stay. There's a room for the guard to stay there in the stable. So that count if it has dalit al dalit and it has a beis dira that a person will sometimes stay there, so that counts to extend the city limits. But if you're just going to have stables for horses and there's no beis dira for a human being, then it doesn't count. It has to be a beis dira for people. But haburganim shebetoicho, in the middle of the field, haburganim. What a burganim? So that the Gemara says when you have travelers who are going by foot from one village to the other. So sometimes they have to sleep over in the middle, and there's no motel, there's no place to sleep. So they used to make little booths, little huts that were less than dalet amos al dalet amos, because it's not kavua, it's just to sleep overnight. Then when they wake up in the morning, they're going to go vaita. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, and not Sugya, that burganim is an exception to the rule. Even though the whole booth is way less than dalet amos al dalet amos, it's a teeny weeny booth. Since it's effective, since it functions, people use it to sleep there, so that is called a beis dira, and you extend the city limits based on that.
What's stopping not to call it a beis dira if people stay there?
You can insist it has to be dalet amos al dalet amos. So that's what the Gemara says, a chiddush no burganim limosayu chazik. Since it's useful for the travelers there, lemaisa, they do sleep overnight there.
Even though it's not dalet al dalet.
Even though it's less than dalet al dalet. So that's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. What about for mezuzah? You have an apartment, and it's every so often you have a room that's less than dalet amos al dalet amos. You have a walk-in closet. The walk-in closet works. That's the way they build the houses. Or sometimes closets. A lot of times you have walk-in closet, like in the Beis Medrash in YU in the front where Rabbi Lifshitz used to sit. That's where I sit. So there's a closet there that's way less than dalet amos. But it works. It works. The people hang up their coats there, they put svarim there, and so on. So the shaila is, I'm mechuyev to put a mezuzah if the room is clearly less than dalet amos, but that's the way they normally build houses, with rooms like that are less than dalet amos. So the Pizchei Tshuva on Yerideya quotes from one of the Achrayim. He didn't have access to all the Achrayim. He just had some many. So he only had one who discussed it. So he said, just like the Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, the burgenim, the Mosayu Chazu, that's the way they, it functions, the burgeoning function like that, even though they have less than dalams, dalams. So if you build a house, and the normal way to build the house is that some of the rooms are going to be less than dalams, dalams. So it functions with less. So that room is mechuyev mezuzah also. As it turns out, Rav of the Achrayim don't accept that position. Most of the Achrayim hold that that din, that the Gemara said, burgenim, even though it's less than dalams, is considered a beis dira lemosai chazi. That's only going to get to this din of Tchumen, because Tchumen is in Gans and the Rabbanon, even with the Rambam Paschal, even Yud Beis Mil, the whole din of Tchumen is Lav Daraisa. And Alpai Mama for sure is Lav Daraisa. We don't, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is even Alpai Mama is Daraisa. So that for sure the Gemara says we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So since Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, the whole issue that we're coming to deal with is only the Rabbanon, make me makel zain hey mama vehe mama, so we're makel that burgenim, limosai chaz, even though it's less than dalams, dalams, we're makel. But for real din daraisa like mezuzah, we would always insist on dalaramis, even though that's the way they normally build houses. It's a din, you need dalaramis. Most of the achrayim hold like that. So you would if you would have such a walk-in, that's why in the yeshiva, they always used to have for years, they had the mezuzah going in from the beis medrash into the closet, and then somebody decided that no, the closet is patur min mezuzah, because rov achrayim holds patur, so they put the mezuzah backwards, going from the closet into the beis medrash. Shadu says the beis medrash chayvim mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Beis medrash not chayvim mezuzah. Mikra din, you're only mechuyev in a mezuzah if it has a tashmin shel chol. If it's used for eating, sleeping, drinking, studying, but if you have a beis hakneses, a beis medrash used for tashmin shel kodesh, so mikra din is not chayvim mezuzah. If you have a room where you eat, so then I mean that kind of a beis medrash. Yeah, why you? We don't have shal shudis in. They make havdalah there. That's all, but they never eat any meals there. The students sometimes nibble. They sometimes have a nash while they're eating. That's the Gemara says you're permitted to. Talmid chachamim, you don't. If it's a beis hakneses, says you're not allowed to eat. Period. Beis medrash really has a higher level of kedusha. We paskin. Beis medrash has a higher level of kedusha than beis hakneses. And nonetheless, the Gemara has on the Machlekes in the end of Megillah. There's a rule, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridin. So the Gemara assumes, based on Knesset, based on Medrash, do not have the same level of Kedusha. One is higher than the other. So which one is higher? So it's a Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that a based on Medrash has a higher level of Kedusha than a based on Knesset. So you're only allowed to convert a based on Knesset to a based on Medrash, but not the reverse. Beis HaMedrash means the Iker is for learning and you daven there too. And the Beis HaKnesses, the Iker is for davening and you learn there on the side. You learn there also a little bit. So we paskin that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha. Nonetheless, even though the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha and you are allowed to convert, you're permitted to convert a shul into a Beis HaMedrash, but not the reverse, because Malam HaKadosh Lama Reading, but you have a Kula that only applies to the Beis HaMedrash, that doesn't apply to the Beis HaKnesses. The Talmid HaChachamim in the middle of learning, since the purpose of the Beis HaMedrash is to learn, so if a Talmid Chacham is learning there, and it's time to eat, so instead of telling him, go across the street and buy lunch, and then bench and come back over here, so he's going to waste an extra 10 minutes till he walks across the street, till he stands on line, till he comes back. It's going to waste time, and it will gain another 10 minutes of learning if he'll eat his lunch over here. So then we're makel, Talmid Chacham are permitted to nibble, to eat food in the Beis HaMedrash, but not in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Yeah, so the students do nash a little bit, but the reason why it's mutter to eat your sandwich in the middle of learning is because that's part of the learning, because that's going to enhance the learning. Used to, but we don't have any aniyim.
But Bismarck and the aniyim ate the base of medrash.
That's what it appears, yeah. So if you have
that's
people.
Why I mean kiddush and so forth for these people.
Right, so if you actually have people who are going to eat or sleep, the Ochle V'Shas of Egonu, they eat and they sleep in the Beis HaMedrash, then the Beis HaMedrash is a Beis Dira, so it's Chayv and Mezuzah. But the Shas, what about our shuls? The Rabbi Bate Medrash, nobody eats or sleeps there. They say Avdolah, that's not the eating. Talmid HaChacham eat a little bit.
Here we eat Shal
Shudit. So this room for sure is Chayv and Mezuzah. But if you have, let's say, Beis HaMedrash, it really shouldn't be. The Gemara says Beis HaKnes and Beis HaMedrash should really be in the same boat together. The only reason why we put a mezuzah on the Beis HaMedrash, in Shulchan Aruch they quote that the Maharam Rutenberg used to learn on the Beis HaMedrash that didn't have a mezuzah. So he had a dream that a malach came to him in the dream and he said, that's not proper. How can you learn a base medrash without a mezuzah? So he ignored the dream. The halacha is that a base medrash is part of a mezuzah. Then he had the same dream again, a second time, a third time, a fourth time. So he finally gave in, so he put a mezuzah. Then he had a dream. Yashu koyach. Good that you put a mezuzah. So because of the dream of the Maharam Rittenberg, so Shulchan Aruch says we split. On a base HaKnesses, we do not put a mezuzah. But a base HaMedrash, we do put a mezuzah. We do put a mezuzah. That's the kasha. There are a few times in Shulchan Aruch where they quote the dreams of the Maharam Rittenberg, how he used to dream and learning. So they quote the dreams of the Maharam Rittenberg. So sometimes the shachtain is, you should ignore all the dreams that he had. And over here, he doesn't have any tainas. Over here, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the dream, and he leaves it like that. He doesn't get upset.
What about Lo Bashamayim?
Yeah, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud whose name is also Rabbeinu Yankif, and he used to dream at night, and he used to ask Shilas in his dreams. So when he woke up in the morning, he would write down all the answers that they gave. So they published a manuscript. It's called Shilas Uchuvas Men Hashamayim by the student of the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's the Shaila, how much validity, how much reliance do you place on this Sefer? Because the Gemara says, you should ignore all of the Chalomis. That's the Shaila, how valuable is this Sefer?
Rabbi, if one were to put a mezuzah in the base on the Akneses where it's not required, would you have a Baltaisis from then?
I don't think Baltaisi, but it's a different Easter. If you put two mezuzahs on the same side, that's going to be Baltaisi. But if you put a mezuzah where you're not mechuyev to, that's considered like a bizayin for the mezuzah. The mezuzah is crying. It could have served a lofty purpose to be mekayma mitzvah somewhere, and now it's on vacation. Faltavek over there. It's sitting and rotting away, and not serving the purpose of a mitzvah. That's like a bizayin. Like you take a sefer Torah, you put it in a museum, and no one looks at it. The Sefer Torah wants to be used for Kriyas HaTorah purposes. So the mezuzah wants to be used for a mitzvah purpose.
If you have a suffix, you shouldn't put it up.
No, if you have a suffix and you put me suffix, you got no choice.
Yeah, but then you're a
bizoyin,
you're wrong.
It's a bizoyin. If the Torah is vada, you're not mechuyev a mezuzah. You put, then it's a bizoyin. But if there's a suffix on me suffix, you're mechuyev to put a mezuzah. Okay? It's a different story.
In a lot of shuls, they eat occasionally, for example, like on Erev Pesach, they make a siyum so that the Bukharim don't have to fast. Maybe sometimes Abdallah is the jet.
So you should do your require a mezuzah in a shul, because once a year, by the Siyam Matinas Pcharis, they have a bite.
But and also, are you allowed to eat there since it's a shul, and in the shul you're not allowed to, in the Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to eat?
Really shouldn't be allowed to eat. Taisus has the one suggestion. The Gemara says you're only yotze kiddush if you machlekes Rabbi Shmuel in the last parak of Sochem. So we paskin you're only yotze kiddush on Shabbos and Yontif if you recite the kiddush b'makom suda in the same location and right before you're going to eat. You can't say kiddush in shul and then go home and eat at home. You got to repeat kiddush again at home. So the Gemara asks, so nobody eats in the shul. So why do we recite kiddush in the shul? Nobody eats there. So the Gemara says, in order to be mighty, the Orchim who eat and sleep in the shul. So Tosis says, how are they allowed to eat and sleep in the shul? It's not permissible. So Tosis gives one suggestion, they eat in the side room. They say the Kiddush in the shul, and they're eating in the room that's adjacent to the shul. So that's also called Kiddush B'makom Suda. Then Tosis gives another answer. The Gemara says in Megillah, that Bati Kenesiyo Shebebovel, Al Tanai Heim Asuyim. The shuls in Chutz La'aretz were all built ala Tanai on the understanding that whenever it's necessary, you can use it for secular purposes. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, that al Tanai heim asuyim. Does it only mean lacha churbanam? After the shul will collapse, then you can use it for other purposes, even before you sell it and you mafkir the kedusha, or the Gemara means to say even bibinyanim, even when the shul is still standing and it's still functioning as a shul, you can still use it for secular purposes. So some of the Shanim say, see from this Gemara, that Bati Kenesiyah Shebebovel Al Tanayim Asui means even while it's standing, even when before it collapsed, you can still use it for secular purposes. In Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't. In Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't be able to feed the Aniyim in the Shul. But in Bavel, it's Chutz La'aretz, so the Bati Kenesiyah are Al Tanayim. And then Taisa gives a third answer, that the Aniyim ate Suda Shabbos in the Shul. So Suda Shabbos is the Suda's Mitzvah, so that you may eat in the Shul. So that's perhaps what the kula is, that people eat shalashuda, so they have kiddush, that constitutes a sudas mitzvah. So one day in Tosfos says that a sudas mitzvah is mutter. The other day, but the kneisiyah shebuchutz laretz, stam you're allowed to eat in shul. You still wouldn't put a mezuzah, because it's only on rare occasions. If every single Shabbos eat shalashuda is there, okay, so then you need a mezuzah. But if it's only once a year, when they have a siyum on Erev Pesach, so that's not that's a diras aroy. As far as eating is concerned, that's only a diras aroy. If you have every single week eat there, that's a diras keva.
Kiddush in the shul every day, they have cake and people eat in the basic Knesset. They make kiddush every Shabbos and they eat in the shul. In other words, they eat cake, schnapps.
Yes, they should probably put a mezuzah there. Yeah, then it's more mechuyev than a beis hamedrash. Beis hamedrash means he sat and he learned there. And mikra din is not chayv in mezuzah. We only put a mezuzah because of the chaloim, because of the cholim of the Maharam Rutenberg. But if you have a beis hamedrash where they eat there, they make kiddush there every week. Some of that's mechuyev midin and a mezuzah. Yeah. So that's the din of burgenim. Burgenim, the Gemara says, is an exception to the rule that even though it doesn't have dalar amos or dal, Gemara says in the beginning of sukkah dav gimel amin beis. Even though it has less than dalar amis, nonetheless, it counts to extend the city limits. And for mezuzah, that's a machlekes in achreinim. Whether that chiddush of burgenim means that if it's normal, chazal limosayu, if that's the way they normally make it, so it's acceptable, even though it's less than dalar amis, it's a roi v'achreinim hold that that's only a din in tchumen, that it doesn't apply to mezuzah. Then the Gemara continues, this Tosefta continues, habaya shebayam. This is the shot that we were discussing when we started here. Let's say you have, normally in Europe, they used to establish a city on the banks of a river, because you have to have transportation. So how are you going to get to this city? You're going to go travel by horseback or by taxi or by car. They didn't have cars. So they used to travel by going on a river. So all the cities, most of the big cities were established around the two sides of a river. So let's say you have a very wide river, and you have houses on one side, houses on the other side. The houses on the one side and the other side are within 70 amas to each other. So do you say it's Mesaba Yachad, it constitutes one big city, but you can't have houses in the middle. If you have houses that are 70 amas apart from each other, within 70 amas to each other, and you really could have put houses in between, so even though there's a gap of 70 amas, as long as it's not Shivim amas v'shiraim, it's not 70 and 2/3, so it's an extension of the city. But you have this highway in the middle of the city, That cuts the city in half, or you have a river that cuts the city in half, and you can't put houses in the middle of the highway. The highway is for traffic, or the river is for traveling over there. There's water there. You can't put houses there. So that's a shaila. Can you consider the two sides, the houses on either side that are within 70 amas to each other? Do you consider that as one big city? So the Tosefta says yes. Here, the Tosefta says.
Boats in a river count as a dira?
No, boats don't count. But if you have a little island in the middle, and you have a house on the island, and the house on the island is within 70 amas to the house on this side, within 70 amas to the house on the other side, but you can't build up in between because you have the water there. That's where the boats go. So it says that's okay. Habayi shebayam, a house in the middle of a river, in the middle of a little lake, if it's within 70 amas to the other house and so on, so it does connect it. So the pashtus in the Gemara perhaps is that hu adinami, if you have a big highway that cuts through the middle of the city also. Yeah, but usually if you have a highway, the houses are not within 70 amas to each other. So usually what you have to make a calculation is, if you have two cities that are within 141 amas of each other, if each on each side of the highway you have Gimel Chatzeres, each of them having two batim, so that's an ear and that's an ear. So if and each ear has Iburish Elias, 70 amas around it, so if you have interlocking Iburish Elias, there's one spot on the highway, let's say the highway is very wide, but there's one spot on the highway where it narrows in, and the gap between the last house over here and the last house over here is less than 141 amas, then you connect the two cities to declare them as one. So it's also going to be the same type of a diyun. But the two cities are declared as one, is that legitimate? But you can't put houses in the middle of the Stacha highway or the Stacha river. So what does it help that you have two houses that are within 140 amas to each other? So many poskim say, That's what it says in the Braisa, that if you have a Bayesh Bayam, you have a house in the middle of the river, and you can't build other houses there because there's water. So it still says that it's good.
Yeah, island there.
Yeah.
It's the island.
Yeah, there's an island there. Yeah, but the shot is in between the island and the dry land over here. There is yam. Yeah. Here there's water to the right, there's water to the left, there's water. Here there's an island with a house, and here there's a house on the dry land, house on the dry land. So the Braisa says that this is within 70 amos to that, and that's within 70 amos to that. Gate mevaita. So that's what many poskim say, who are denami, if you have these big highways in the middle, it's not going to be less than 70 amos, but sometimes it'll be less than 141 amos. So if you have Gimel Chatzeres on this side, Gimel Chatzeres on that side, and this has the dimensions of a city, that has dimensions of a city, so then you can connect, if they have interlocking karpifim, each karpif is 70 amos, if it's less than 141, then you can combine the two to declare that it's 1 year. So some of the, this is a Shilin contemporary poskim, some of them say it's the same as Bayi Shebayam, even though you can't build up the space in between because there's a river there, you see that it still blends in to be considered one city. So Adinam, if you have a big highway, it also blends in to be considered one big city.
The Kew Garden Hills where the long LI cuts across between, say, New York Hospital and the normal residents, even though there's a highway, the area is good, considered good, because you would say there it's within some area there's 70 two houses that are connected.
No, these are two different. I'm not familiar with Queens. I'm not familiar with Washington Heights either. I don't drive across. I never pay attention. Yeah.
This is a highway, but the Arab.
So you have an Arab that goes on the highway.
On the street
above the highway.
Street underneath the highway.
Street above the highway.
No. A highway is probably Rishus Aram Deraisa. L'chayra. Highway is probably Rishus Aram Deraisa. So if you have Rishus Aram Deraisa, we usually assume the accepted opinion is that you can't put a Tzuras HaPesach Erev. You can't, a Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Gerua. Ashrach Mechitza. Everyone can walk through all the traffic. It doesn't prevent any flow of traffic. So if you have a Rishu Saram Deraisa, then we're concerned about Osir Rabbim or Mevatla Mechitza. So you cannot have an Erev like we make an Erev. Kanamikam. You cannot make an Erev on a highway, that's a Rishus Aram Deraisa. But if you have a street that goes over a highway,
along the highway,
yeah, the streets on the side of the highway, the streets on the side of the highway that lead up to the highway, those are not necessarily going to be Rishus Aram Deraisa. So you can make an Erev on the street that goes over the highway, the street that's next to the highway, even though the highway is a Rishus Aram Deraisa. Somebody had a Taina, apparently some Hasidic Rav, years ago when they first made the Erev in Kew Gardens, or it was Rabbi Olbam Arav, Kew Garden Hills. Apparently some Chassidish Arav printed a Dvar Torah in some Chassidish journal, I never heard of it, attacking the Rabbanim for making an Erev because they included in the Erev streets that lead into the highway. Into the highways of Shusaram Deraisa. So Rabbi Olbam wrote a whole defense of the Erev. So he said that it's absolutely not a problem, and he quotes what it says in Shulchan Aruch: the highways are Rishus Aram Deraisa, but the streets that lead into the highway, those are not Rishus Aram Deraisa. Those could be Carmelis. We assume it's a Carmelis, and then you can make an Erev on that. So that's one issue. But here we're talking about a different issue. If you have homes on one side, you have houses, homes on one side of a big highway, and then there's a big pause, and then you have homes on the other side of the highway, can you declare that this half of the city on this side and that half of the city on the other side, that is considered one big city? So some say the highway is the hishtamshus of the houses. So it's not mafsik. That's a big chiddush. That the Wendy's say that there's a problem if you have a gap of 70 amos in between one house and the other. So it's not considered a hemshach of a city. You have a gap of 80 amos in between the houses. You could have built houses, you didn't build houses. But hey, you built a highway, so the highway is also hishtamshus of the people who live there. So even though the gap is way more than 70 amos, doesn't bother us. So that's a psagreis achidish. So that's not generally accepted. So what they usually work with is if you have three chatzeres on one side of the highway. So that side of the highway has so many houses, so many chatzeres, that constitutes one city. And then you have so many chatzeres on the other side, that's another city. So if there's one spot where the closest house over here, are less than 141 amos away from each other, so then you have interlocking karpifa. So then the Gemara said that's the shear to declare it as as 1 year, and then you have a machlekes. Is that legitimate? Because maybe you can only declare it as blending in to be 1 year if it's shaykh to build houses in the middle. But here you have a highway; you can't build houses over there. So some bring the raya from Abayi Shebayam. You can't build houses on the water either. And other things, Zachnoep, is Abayi Shebayam is an exception to the rule for some reason or another. And a highway is worse than that. So that's an ongoing debate. What is the gap in between the last house here and the last house here? I don't know. See, the whole issue was never negated to me. I never lived there, so that's why I never... They printed a lot about that. Why the practice always was that people would walk back and forth from Manhattan to Brooklyn, Brooklyn to Manhattan. So they give some kind of explanation. Each one has the dimensions of a year, and the gap between them is somehow less than 141 amas. They say it can't be. It's impossible. I don't know.
The bridge doesn't give it any. There's no cool side to Hatter for the bridge.
No, you have to see where the
Gemara quotes a bridge. You need a bias.
You see in Washington, in Washington Heights, the bridge starts a few blocks in from the edge of Manhattan, but the houses continue below the bridge. So the houses are closer to New Jersey. It's still very far to New Jersey. It's not going to be within 70 hours. It's not going to be 141 hours to New Jersey. It's a long distance anyway. But is it possible that the last house in Brooklyn and the last house in Manhattan are within 141 hours? No. So I don't talk to know what the heck. Oh. But you have to draw rectangular shapes. That's it. So Manhattan is approximately a rectangle the way it stands. So you draw it like that. What about Brooklyn? Is also approximately a rectangle? Or it's a sloppy mess? So if it's a sloppy mess, then you draw kefi rucha sa'olam. So now if you have, let's say, one rectangle, Manhattan is going to be like this, and the other rectangle is going to be like that. What if you have overlapping... If you have overlapping rectangles, does that blend in to be considered 1 year? So that's a big machlokes now. That's a big machlokes. I thought lahachmer, but that's a big machlokes. People in Eretz Yisrael, they wrote ganzen svarim on that shaila. When you take one city, when you take Manhattan, you make it into rectangular shape. It's already approximately rectangular. So you make it rectangular just to fill it in. And Brooklyn is a sloppy mess, and you make it rectangular, kefi ruchos ha'olam, and then you have these two rectangles are overlapping. So does that mean anything? Does that mean that it's al pidin one city or no? This is one city, and you can only go al pi mama out, and you have to stop in the middle of a city. That's later on in Mishnah. Let's say I was kind of shvisa, I live all by myself in a desert. And I only have Alpai Mama from my house. And my Alpai Mama ends in the middle of a city. So that's a Beferish and Mishnah. My Trum Shabbos ends in the middle of the city. I can't go one step further. Not allowed to go past my Trum Shabbos. If I'm going to Shvisa in the city, let's say the top of the table is one big city. So it doesn't matter whether the person lives here, the person lives here. The whole city is considered Kedal Ramas. And then everybody who lives in this city has Alpai Mama outside of the city. But if I don't live in the city, I live over here. And my Alpai Mama ends over here. So that's it. I can't go further. I can't go past that. So that's a shaila. If you have overlapping rectangles, that's what they say about Manhattan and Brooklyn. It depends on that shaila. So the minig, apparently, America was lahakel. That people walked back and forth from Manhattan to Brooklyn. They were working on the assumption that overlapping rectangles blend in to constitute one big city. And others hold that it's not so.
But a car takes, everybody holds overlapping, that's definitely together.
Yeah, if the gap is less than 141 amis, so you have interlocking karpifim, so that's the Ferish and the Gemara, that constitutes one big city. But if you just have overlapping rectangles, not. See, that's a shaila about Riverdale and Washington Heights. If you draw Riverdale as a rectangle, so Riverdale will come, your trum will go a pi mama past that, so you'll be able to walk through the whole Washington Heights. But if you draw Manhattan as a rectangle, it approximately is a rectangle already. So you just finish up the rectangle, so you will not be able to go, you'll only be able to go a pi mama past, you won't be able to go to Riverdale. So the distance going from Manhattan to Riverdale is further than going from Riverdale to Manhattan. When you go from Washington Heights to Riverdale, it could be that's chutz l'tchum. Go from Riverdale to Washington Heights, that's techa tchum. If you say it like that, so others insist, no, since I made that into a rectangle, I made Manhattan into a rectangle, I made Riverdale into a rectangle, and the rectangles are clearly overlapping, so that constitutes one big city. And others disagree and say, no, that nakuda is the machlokes, right?
How can it be that one way is okay and the other way is
okay? The Chazanish writes like that, the Chazanish sounds like he, I could have sworn that that's what he wrote in one place. That's the way I read it, that's the way many read it. You have a right to disagree with the Chazanish. And others say, no, they reinterpret the Chazanish, he never said it. I don't know. The simple reading of the Chazanish is like that, that just because you have overlapping rectangles doesn't mean anything. It's like I live chutzli here, and I have my tchum, and my tchum ends in the middle of the city. V'gamarna, you can't go weiter. So the people from Riverdale, they make their rectangle lefi ruchas ha'olam, and the people in Manhattan, they make the rectangle kefi the shape of Manhattan. So we will be restricted. We can only go up pi mama outside of our rectangle, and they can go up pi mama out of their rectangle. That's going to include the whole Washington Heights.
Yeah, well, they can't go back home
because the Bronx is.
No, then they can go back home. They're kind of shvis over there, so it's techat chum. They can come from Riverdale to Washington Heights and go back again.
I'm going to go back from Washington
Heights
to Riverdale. Because they were kind of shvis in Riverdale. So their tchum, their mokum is Riverdale, and this is Techa tchum, and they go back. But the people who live in Washington Heights can't go there.
It would actually extend all the. I mean, if you draw the rectangle, it goes down to about 110th Street.
The rectangle from Riverdale.
From Riverdale, yeah, because Riverdale's continues west of the Bronx, and the Bronx is goes all the way down to.
And Achenami. Then you have the shadow that we had last week, Irasuya Kikeshes. If you have the city, Irasuya Kikeshes, so the Gemara says if it's like this, a skinny ear like this, so if it's too wide, you don't draw a whole rectangle. But what if it's a big fat city? A lot of houses, a big fat city, and one end of it is Kikeshes. So those are the 2 days in Taisvis. So Taisvis says, Ibsnoit Alahachmer about that. Even though the whole city is not skinny. The whole city is a big fat city, the whole Bronx, a gigantic Bronx. But this section is like a keshes. One corner is like a gigantic keshes. So do you still say you have the whole rectangle, even though it's missing, there's nothing there? Or not? So Taisus is machmer about that. How does that make it? Zona Gel Aloha, yeah. So this Gemara, the third wide line on Nun Hamed Beis, the Gemara is still quoting this Tosefta. Habayeshe Bayam. If you have a house, the Gemara is going to discuss who in the world uses a bayeshe bayam. It's a little island, and there's a house there. What do you use it for? It has to be a beis dira. It has to have some ishtamshes. The Gemara is going to work on that. But our Kalpanim Gemara says you have a bayis in the middle of the yam on an island, within 70 yamas to the house on this side, within 70 yamas to the house on that side. So that links everything up, and the city limits are extended. And that's the machlekes, whether the same would work by a highway. Not connecting two cities. Let's say I have Batim here. I want to extend this city limit. So I have Batim, a lot of Batim here. Then I have a bais in the middle of the yam, then I have a bais on the other side of the yam, on the dry land. So each one is within 70 yams. Then I keep having more Batim. So does this bais in the middle, does that link up? But the gap in between, you can't build anything up over here. Is that legitimate?
But if it wouldn't be connecting, then it would be easy if you had two cities.
You may not necessarily have three chatzeres on the other side. If you have three chatzeres on each side, then you have two cities. So then if it's interconnecting, interlocking karpifas, it's less than 141, then it would be good. Yeah. So that's the first half of the braisa. All of these cases are acceptable. We extend the city limits. Ve'elu in the following cases, that's on the fourth wide line on the Nehemiah base. The following are not extending the place. Nefesh and Ifritza Mishtei Ruchai Seho, Eilach V'Eilach. You had a booth, next to the Matzeva, it used to have four walls to it. And now, Nifritza Mishtei Ruchaset, it's missing two walls, it only has the two parallel walls. So that's not acceptable. V'hagesher, or you have a bridge that also has a booth for a shomer. V'hakever, you have a grave, that also she'en lehem beis dira. We said in the Reish, if it has a beis dira, if it's dalal al dalal has a beis dira, then it counts as a bias to be, to extend the city limits. If it doesn't have a beis dira, it's no good. Or you have a shul or a church, you have a shul, she'en le beis dira lechazen. There's no room for the super to sleep there. Or you have a beis avod, there's a church, she'en le beis dira lekoimer. There's no room for the galach to sleep there. Or you have a stable for horses, ha'urvas, v'hoitzros, or you have a storage room, she'basod, she'en le beis dira. It doesn't have a room to stay. So all of those are not misabri mima. It has to be dafka beis dira. I don't know. You have a lot of times Tosefta's Mishnayos a lot of times spell everything out, even though you would have understood it from the Reish. I don't know. It's very puzzling. Sometimes the Mishnah will write it in with one letter, and they'll assume that you understand it. Sometimes they'll be so explicit that you don't understand. Why do they have to repeat it for? I don't know. See, it spells everything out. The hen and the lav. Yeah. The hen kind of lav spells everything out. What does it say? Baita. Ubor usiach umaora. Let's say you have a cave or you have a pit, all kinds of things. Vigeda, v'shevach, shebetoicho, v'habayi, shebesfino, ein eilu misabri mimo. None of these count because they're not a beis dira for a pit. Sure. So the Gemara, what did they quote this to Sefer? Well, it's good to know. Well, the dinim, okay. why did they introduce it? Because they had a shaila. What if you have shtei mechitzes v'yesh aleim tikra mahu? That was shaila. If you have three mechitzes left, you had a house, you had a booth, and it had four walls, and it had a roof, and it had a floor. So the floor is still there, and you only have three walls, and the roof collapsed. So the Gemara said that's acceptable. That's what it means in the Mishnah, gedudios. Gedudios means you have left over from a beis dira. You have three walls without a roof is good. Then they wanted to know, what if you only have two walls, either parallel or L-shaped? Does make a difference. But if you have two walls and it does have a roof, is that the equivalent of three walls without a roof, or is that worse? So the Gemara is going to quote from this Bryce. It says in the Bryce, Ketani Mihos, it says in the Bryce, Nefesh and Nifritz, Amishtei Ruchoseho, Eilech V'Eilech. It says, you had a Matzeva. What did it say on the fourth white line? You had a Matzeva, and it only has two walls left. So it says that is not Mitztaref. Eilech Emesabri Mimo, that's not Mitztaref. So the Gemara says, my love, the simple pshat in the Tosefta means the ikatikra, despite the fact that it has a roof on top of it, it's not acceptable because it only has two walls. Isn't that the simple reading of the Gemara? So the Gemara says, no, where do you get, who says that it's talking that it has a roof? The lekatikra, we're talking if it doesn't have a roof. If it does have a roof, the Gemara says, then it would be good. Just like if you have three walls without a roof is good, or you have two walls with a roof is also good. And the two walls doesn't make a difference whether the two walls are parallel or the two walls are L-shaped. Same thing.
Pashas, you say, would have a roof. Because that's how it was originally. We built that way originally.
Started off like that. And it just says what fell down were the two walls.
Yeah. So Pashas would say, it does still have a roof.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, but it's not conclusive. It's not explicit. So since it's not clear, so we go lekula. We say that it is good. Sure. It says, the whole din of Tchumen is only with the Rabbanim. So whenever you have a suffix in Truman, so you go to Kula, so we're makel on that. Even though the Gemara never proved it. It didn't prove it one way or the other. And the Pashtus you say is that it does have a roof, and it still said it's no good. So the Gemara is matre, it's not conclusive, so we go to Kula on the Shaila. Then the Gemara wants to know, Baisha Bayam Lamai Chazi. What do you mean you have a house on an island in the middle, you have water to the right, water to the left. So what do you use? The house has to be a beis dira. If you have a stable for horses, it's no good. You have to have a hishtamshus, a use for people. What kind of use can it possibly have? The Gemara says, yeah, when the boats are passing by, so they stop over there next to this little island, and they put some of their merchandise into this little house, so the people will go have a bite there in the house, then they come back on the boat. It's not an island that's big enough for people to live on, but the island is big enough to have a house, and they use the house a little bit when the boats are passing by. Sure. By Shabiyam Maichaz, what can you use it for? And for the Gemara, by Shasalifanas Bakelim, Shebisfina. The people on the boats use it to leave things there and to eat there and whatever. Okay. Then the Gemara, what did it say in the Braisa? A bor siach ma'ara, a pit, whatever shape it has, whether it's long and narrow or it's square shaped, or a ma'ara is a cave. So it says, does not count, because it doesn't have a base dira, so it's not mitzaref, even though it's within 70 amas to the houses of the city, it's not mitzaref to extend the city limits. Freg the Gemara, is that true? But we have a brisa that says that it does extend. The brisa says that a cave is not mitzaref, even though it's within 70 amas to the other houses, it doesn't extend the city limits. Freg Gemara, ay, bohatani rabchi, we have a brisa that's reliable. The Gemara says, if the brisa wasn't edited by Rav Chiya, Rav Oshia, you can't ask any kash. But this brisa comes from Rav Chiya, so it's reliable. Ma'arim is haberesim, ashtay beferish, and a brisa. If you have a cave, it does count as a base dira, because people can use a cave. Children can play there. People can sleep there. It is misaberesim. So the Gemara says, the answer must be like this. Amar Abayi, kishiyesh binyan apiha. The only time the cave counts to be extend the city limits is if there's a house that's right next to the cave and the house is used by people. So Freg the Gemara, if you have a house, what do you need a cave for? So the house is mitzaref. So the house is mitzaref. Freg the Gemara, the tepek le mishum binyan gufei. So what do you need the cave for? The house is good on its own. And for the Gemara, tzvicha lahashlim. So what does it mean lahashlim? So Tosis quotes Rashi and they give another pshat. There are two pshatim lahashlim. The one pshat is, what do you mean that the house has to have dalet amos al dalet amos? It means the room, in order to be chayv and mezuzah, the room has to have dalet amos al dalet amos. What if you have a little house and it has four rooms, and each room is a teeny weeny room? Each room is less than dalet amos. Altogether, it has more than dalet amos. But each room on its own doesn't have dalet amos. They're not chayv and mezuzah. So what is he over here? The dalet amos that you need for a house in order to be ma'aber the ear. If the house has dalet amos, so it counts, and it's mitztarf to extend the city limits, you need that one room in the house has to have dalet amos of dalet amos, or as long as the whole house together has dalet amos, even though each room per se doesn't have dalet amos. Is it the same as mezuzah or not? So Rashi, Tosfos quotes Rashi, Pirish Bekuntris, Tosfos Demaska Latzicha Lahashlim. So Tosfos says, if the house doesn't have dalet amos of dalet amos, house has less, but you have a cave right next to the house, so the house with the cave together have dalet amos. So does again, a cave alone is not called a beis dira. A house is a beis dira, but it has to have dalet amos. So if you have a house that has less than dalet al dalet and betzirup the cave that's adjacent to it, if it's kavua that a person lives there all the time, that's called a dira. But we're talking about stama cave. Stama cave that nobody lives there kavua. He lived there for many years, yeah. But if you have a cave that people once in a while go play there, they go sleep there, b'ikroi b'yama, so that's not called a beis dira. If you have a house that people sleep in once in a long while, so that is called a beis dira. If you have a cave that they use once in a while, that doesn't count. Unless it's next to a house, so then what do you need the cave for? The Gemara says, no, the house has less than dalet al dalet. And then the cave is mashlim in the dalet al dalet, so then it can. That's how Rashi learns. So and then,
what about the other shelter? The shelter for homes. Can you use this? Why in the shelter to use this house?
I mean, if they're dropping bombs, you go to the shelter. Yeah. It's also called the Beis Dira. It's miyuchar for tashmish once in a long while. Yeah, it's built by the Yodam to serve. It's not like a cave. No. The cave is a natural cave, but a shelter is built to be used once in a while. So that'll be mitzaref, yeah, I think so. That'll be mitzaref to the, if it's within 70 amas, it'll extend the city limits. So Rashi learns over here, Achidush, that if you have two rooms that which together have dalet amas, a few rooms, together you have dalet amas or dalet amas, but no one room has dalet amas on its own. So no one room is chayv and mezuzah, but nonetheless, for the purpose of Erevin, so it counts as dalet amas and extends the city limits. Tosfos, the Ri, Balatos, not so convinced that that's right. He thinks maybe just like by mezuzah, you have to have that, each room has to have dalet amos. So if you have a bayis next to a cave, and the bayis doesn't have dalet amos, you can't be mitzaref the cave to it. So what does it mean, lahashlim? So the Gemara says, no, it means like this. I have a house that has 100 amos by 100 amos. Then I have a cave next to it that has 1,000 amos by 1,000 amos. So when you measure the city limit, the city is all over here. And then you have this gigantic house, 1,000 amas by 1,000 amas. That's a beis dira, people live there. So do you say that's the end of the city limits? and you have to have the next house has to be with Shivim Amah Vishirayim to this house. And he say, no, since there's a cave next to the house, and the house has, Daiva Haisa, the house has 1,000 Amas by 1,000 Amas, so the cave that has 1,000 Amas by 1,000 Amas is also an extension of the house, and it's also counted as a Beis Dira. Lahashlim means to be Mamait in the Shivim Amah. Not to be mashlim, to make up the dal ramas or dal ramas. The house has its own dal ramas, and the cave has its own dal ramas, but a cave normally doesn't count as b'dei shamayim, and you only use it b'kroi. But if the cave is next to a house, then I say, even till the end of the whole distance of the cave, the whole thing is considered part of the Beis Dira, and it extends the city limit. That's how Tosis learns.
Why would that be? Why would that change anything? I mean, like that itself?
Let's say a person has an apartment, a person has a home, and he doesn't use all the rooms. I used to use all the rooms. Now 7 of my 9 children are married already, so we don't use all the rooms. So once in a while, we get a guest, so the guests use the rooms. But a lot of times, there are rooms in the house that we never use. So you don't say, oh, that's not part of the house, it's not a Beis Dira, nobody uses it. No. The other parts of the house we use every single day. So even those parts of the house that we don't use every day, or the ma'ora is adjacent to the house, we rarely use the ma'ora. It's b'dei shemayim. But since it's adjacent to the house, and the house has a hishtamshus sheldira, so the ma'ora is an extension of it. So you keep on going back there with the city limits.
But the ma'ora is not qualifying the ma'ora as being used with the house. If the ma'ora said, well, if the ma'ora is used as part of the house, then okay. But otherwise, you can't compare it to the house, because the house is built to, if someone's not living here now, okay, then I'm
you're right, it's talking not the same, but it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. That's what the Gemara says. That's how the Ri learns the Gemara. If the one is next to the other, I get the impression he doesn't go for Rashi Shita. Rashi says you have two rooms, each of which doesn't have Dalarams, but if you add them together, they have Dalarams, so that is acceptable for Erevin. So the Ri seems to hold, just like it's not acceptable for mezuzah, it wouldn't be acceptable for tchumen either. But he said, this is what the Gemara means. You have the house has dalet ames, and then the cave is adjacent to it, so the cave extends the use of the house.
Is it adjacent or connected? It's connected.
Connected makes a little better sense.
Right. That's
yeah.
What I mean. That's
I don't know. I don't know, how do you translate the words?
He says, I mean, he quotes the Ritva, I don't know.
That words, what? That what?
It's connected, it's attached to the
cave. Ah, binyan alpiyah, that is connected, makes right. More sense, okay? That makes more sense, not just adjacent to, okay? Maybe you have to say like that, that's a good shot. When you establish that you have a city, so we said that many times, you have to have gimel chatzeris, that are either contiguous to each other, touching, or they're within 70 amas to each other. So those gimel chatzeris, the Gemara says, have to be kavua. Let's say you have nomads, you have Bedouins, and they stay over here for 2 months when the pasture is good, then they take the sheep to a different location for 2 months, then they go to a different location. So b'mikre, it turns out that you have Jewish Bedouins, you have Jewish travelers over there. B'mikre, you have... It's in a shape of gimel chatzeris with two batim each and a whole area. Is that considered an ear? So Rav Huna says no. They only live there b'ikroi. It's only if they live there kavua. That's what he says. Amar Rav Huna yeshvei tzrifin. People only live temporarily in little teepees and little huts. Emodim lahem elam ipesach batehem. Each person is on his own. If you have people, if the top of the table is the city. You have gimel chatzeres with base batim in each one. Then whether you live over here, the whole city is kedalat ames, and you draw a rectangle, and then you draw the rectangle around, and then everybody can walk over there. But if it's not al pidin a city, there's no tziruv of a city, so each person has al paimama from his own house. And just because someone lives over here and he has a different al paimama, doesn't affect me. I live over here. Each person, you make the calculation on his own. Why? Because they don't live kavua. What does it mean? Rashi writes, ain't on keva. What do you mean it's not keva? It means that the tzrifim are not attached to the ground. The tzrifim are not attached to the ground. That's why. There are locations in the world where the homes are not attached to the ground. And people live there for year after year after year. So that in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim, it's a matter of time. It doesn't mean that it's not attached to the ground. he seems to hold that even if you have a whole city, nothing is attached to the ground, it still can constitute an ear, provided that the people live there kavua. So that's when the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gaudium, he's not sure what the definition of kavua is. What could it possibly be? So we mentioned a few times, the Gemara has in Bava Basra, sometimes Sanhedrin, sometimes there's a din that depends on living there Shloshim Yom, sometimes there's a halacha that depends on living there Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Chor should be either one or the other. Either if they live there Shloshim Yom, that's called Kavua, live there Yud Beis Chodesh, that'll be Kavua.
Look, the materials that are made of the Husin Barava, there's a vegetation.
Not going to stand, not going to last too long. It can't, by definition, it can't last too long, yeah. So you have such a shaila. There's a in Shulchan Aruch they have this in Hilchas Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to go on a big boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says Wednesday, Thursday, Friday you're not allowed to go, and the only gone quotes those who say only Thursday, Friday. Wednesday is mutter already. 3 days before Shabbos include Shabbos. So there's a shaila. So you're not allowed to go on a boat trip. Different reasons, different explanations. Why? What's the problem? You're not allowed unless you're going to Dvar Mitzvah. Then it's mutter. What says Dvar Mitzvah? So let's say the person is moving to Eretz Yisrael. So that's an example they quote in Shulchan Aruch, Dvar Mitzvah, and the only boat you have is that's going to go Thursday, Friday, it's a Megman. What if he's only going to tour Eretz Yisrael? He's going to go visit, he's going to come back home. Is that considered a mitzvah or not? So that's a machlokes. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but is there a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael? So the Mogen Avraham, in his commentary on the Shaida of the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Erev Shabbos, quotes from the Knesset Hagdola, two opinions whether visiting Eretz Yisrael constitutes a partial mitzvah not. On the assumption that it does constitute a partial mitzvah, so then there are three shittas how long the visit has to be. So one opinion is if you're just going to visit to walk the Alanam Dasa Shein Genuk, that's partial credit, because the Gemara says on the pasuk V'chiper Abnosai Amoi, Gemara in the end of Ksuba says whoever walks the Alanam in Eretz Yisrael Abnosav Nimcholim, he gets Mechilas Avoinus. So walking the Alanam is already a partial Kima mitzvah. Others disagree. Walking Dalai Lama is you get Mechilas Avinus, but that's not a partial Kima mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Mechilas Avinus is different. You bring Karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash, you also get, let's say I send money, I wire money to the Beis HaMikdash, and I say bring Karbonis on my behalf, I get a Kima mitzvah of Karbonis, I get a Kapar, but it doesn't mean I have a partial Kima mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. What's the connection? So others disagree. They say walking Dalai Lama is das an Ishkinuk, that's not a sheer in Dira and Eretz Yisrael, you have to live there a minimum of 30 days. And others say 30 days doesn't help either. They think the shir should be Yud Beis Chodesh. If you take a sabbatical, let's say a person's taking a sabbatical, is going to be in Eretz Yisrael for a year. So if he can make his ticket, either to stay slightly more than a year or slightly less than a year, so, or a person is going to go for a trip to Eretz Yisrael, he can either stay slightly more than 30 days or slightly less than 30 days. So you should always try to make a little bit more than 30 days, a little bit more than a year. Because some poskim hold that less than Yud Beis Chodesh, there isn't even a partial mitzvah. And some hold less than 30 days, there isn't even a partial Kima mitzvah. So there we know there's such a machlokes. On the assumption that there is a partial Kima mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, how long do you have to live? 30 days of Yud Beis Chodesh, that's a machlokes in Achrayim. So that's the deal over here. The Prima Gaudium is not sure. What's the minimum amount of time that the people have to live in the Tzrifim that it should constitute Adiras Keva? That the Gimel Chatzeres with the base Batim should add up to a an ear, that it should be considered an ear.
A second day, you have to have a second day of Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Only after the 30 days, you don't have.
No, fakir is a svar. Let's say a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, a person moves to Eretz Yisrael, is going to stay there. So he only keeps one day yontif. Yeah. So the Avnei Nezer raises a possibility if he moves to Eretz Yisrael, mamish erev Pesach, aldas to stay there. Maybe the first 30 days he's not yet called a ben Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he only observes one day yontif after he already lives there for 30 days. Even if he plans to stay there kavua, he just got married, he's going to live in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of his life. So that's a dimun and avdei nezer. The common practice is that you move to Eretz Yisrael the same day. The same day. Next day is yontif. So the same day. You only observe one day yontif. Unless the person came on the second day yontif. A person comes there so on the second day Yontif, so he was in Chutzlar at the beginning of the second day Yontif, then he lands in Eretz Yisrael and the afternoon of the second day Yontif. Said the boat, a goyish boat, most of the passengers are not Jewish, and they land in the port in Eretz Yisrael on the second day Yontif. So then the Paschim say, since he started observing second day Yontif in Chutz Laretz, so he's mechuyav to observe till the end of the day. But if he would land, let's say, on Erev Yontif, even though he's just there a half a day, well, by the time it'll come tomorrow, he'll be there a day and a half. By the time it comes Yontif Sheni, he'll be a day and a half. So usually it's assumed, since he plans to live there permanently, so he doesn't have to live there first for 30 days. But the Avnei Nezer raises such a suggestion. So the Gemara says the only time it has the status of a Nir is if the people live there kavur. Frag the Gemara Kasha, but it says that the Jewish people lived in the Midbar. They were traveling. They kept on traveling from one place to the other. Where did they sleep? They slept in sukkahs. The sukkahs are also not attached to the ground. The sukkahs are like tzrifim, little huts. So the Gemara assumes that the layout in the Midbar was Yud Beis Mil of Yud Beis Mil, the Machne Yisrael. There were four machnes. There were three shvatim there, three shvatim there, three shvatim. The Gemara assumes that we're all allowed to walk on Shabbos. The whole location was considered one big year. So the Gemara wants to tighten this. Maybe they weren't allowed to. Maybe everybody only had Alpai Mama around his little hut. So the Gemara says it can't be. So the Gemara has a wild idea here, very strange. The Gemara says, when they had to go to Beis HaKisei, so what did they do in the Midbar? So we have toilets. It's no problem. So the Gemara says, they can never know where the Onan was going to go nest. The Onan may leave a day later, may leave a week later, may leave 5 years later, 20 years later. They don't know when the Onan is going to leave. All they know is the Onan is not going to go backwards. Wherever they came from is not going to go back. May go forwards, may go to the right, may go to the left. So the Gemara says, when they had to do Nekovim Gedolim, so they would have to go backwards to make sure if they would go to Beis HaKisei in any location and the Onan would go in that direction, that would be a bizayon for the Shechina. The Onan represented the Kavod HaShechina. So the Gemara says a wild thing. If a person, let's say the whole Machne Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil, of Yud Beis Mil, so a person lives over here, so he has to walk 6 mil backwards in order to go to Beis HaKisei. 6 mil? 2 hours? Has to walk 2 hours before it goes to the bathroom. It's a wild idea. So the Gemara says, and what if the person has to go to Beis HaKisei on Shabbos? So there's no problem of Tchumen. He's going to walk. And if he lives over here, he has to walk all the Yud Beis Mil. Has to walk the Yud Beis Mil. So the Gemara, it's a very strange Shaychocha. How can they wait 4 hours till they go to the bathroom? I don't know. So the Gemara says, we assume that the whole rectangular shape of the Yud Beis Mil, or Yud Beis Mil in the Midbar, had the status of an ear, and there was no problem of Tchum Shabbos. This is... I don't know. The Gemara says they went back, Masor is backwards. Yes, doesn't it contradict this Gemara? That's a good kasha. I don't know. So the Gemara says, how can it be? It says Vayachnu al Ayardim Beis Hashimis Aravel Ashitim from this location to that location. Rabbi Babachana says, I was there. The Gemara tells us in the Agadah Temple of Basra, they had an Arab who was showing them all the sites in the Midbar, where the Mesa Midbar were, where Bluei Kairach were, where all the historical sites were from the days of the Chumash. So he said, the Arab showed him this location. He saw the location from Beis HaShemes Adavel HaShitim, and it's Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil, so the Gemara assumes that they were allowed to walk on Shabbos from one part to the other, and then Alpai Mama outside. Sometimes they only stayed there for a day. It says in the Chumash, sometimes they stayed for a day, sometimes they stayed for a week, sometimes they stayed for a year. So if you only stayed for a day, how does it have the din of a machane? How does it have a din of an ear? And for the Gemara, Omalei Rava, so Rava answers the Kasha, Rav Chisda asked the Kasha. So Rava answers the Kasha, Digli Midbar Ka'amet, you're asking a Kasha from the Golem in the Midbar, Kev Nechsibu Alpi Hashem Yachna, Alpi Hashem Yiso, since it was Alpi Tzibo Yakodesh Bochu, so it's considered Kaman the Kvil Hudami. They're not running on their own. They're not leaving on their own like the nomads. They're going to stay there till the Baal Shem tells them to go. So when they sit down, when they're kovei makom there, that's considered bikriyas. There's such a similar Gemara in Masechus Shabbos. The Gemara talks about bona. So the Gemara says bona is only a malacha deraisa if it's binyan kavua. We have bona and we have ohel. So the expression ohel means oil aroi. Oil aroi is an isa derabbanan and binyan kavua is a malacha deraisa. So the Gemara says binyan kavua haste. I build a house and it's going to last for a while. But if I build the house, the whole nature of the house is that it's only going to last temporarily. So that's only an isa derabbanan. So the Gemara says, but in the midbar, you learn everything out from the Mishkan. Whatever was involved in Asiyas HaMishkan. Gemara says, but the Asiyas HaMishkan could have been for only one day. Yeah. They put up the Mishkan and are going to take it down tomorrow. So the whole thing is Aroi. So how is that a Malacha Deraisa? You're learning everything out from the Mishkan. So the Gemara gives the same Lashon. It's considered Binyan Kavua. That's considered Binyan Kavua. It's not considered Oil Aroi. Then the Gemara continues, what if you have a location where you have Gimel Chatzeres with base bottom each, has a dimension of a city, and then you have these nomads, they pitch their tents, here this is the ear, with the Gimel Chatzeres, it has motels, hotels, locals, drugstore, has a grocery store, they live here Kavua from Dairy Dairy. Then you have the other people, the Ongelofen I mentioned, they put on their teepees and their huts within 70 amas to this. So the Gemara said, that's okay. That extends the city limits. If the city, if the ikar of the city is binyan kavua, that's what he says. Amar, what is it? Amar avchenin bar avkanu, amar avashem, yesham sholosh chatzeres shel shnei batim, if you have a dimension of a city that is kavua, then all of these tzrifim extend the city limits. If they're provided there within Shivim Amam Bishirayim, you can't create a city, can't create an ear with things that are only Aroi. But once you have an ear from Gimel Chatzeres that are Kavua, then these Trifim can extend. The Gemara recommends you shouldn't live in a teepee. Okay. The Gemara thinks that it's not healthy. Okay. The Gemara says many times that the din of chinuch is only midirabbanon, the obligation of chinuch, that if we have children who are before bar mitzvah, boys and girls before bar mitzvah, you have to sit to it. The Mishnah said that they fast on Yom Kippur 2 years before bar mitzvah. They should sit in the sukkah, they should shake a lulav, they should clap a shinus, even a minig, they should clap a shinus. So the Gemara says this is only midirabbanon. Chinuch is only a din midirabbanon. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, Chinuch is midirabbanon means to insist. Oh, barshteit v'shinantam levanecha. So you see that Chinuch is deraisa. So it means the chiyuv to see to it that the child performs the mitzvah now, bekatnusa, that's midirabbanon. But you have to teach the child that another 5 years you're going to be bar mitzvah. The kid is only 8 years old, so you have to tell him, in another 5 years everybody's bar mitzvah, girls are bas mitzvah 12, boys are bar mitzvah 13. And after bar mitzvah, you have to shake a lulav, and this is the way you do it, and you have to show him, and you have to practice with him a little. The obligation to see to it that he should shake a kosher lulav and sit in a kosher sukkah on yontiv, that's only midirabbanan. But the obligation to teach him the dinim, that's avada din deraisa. So that's what shinantam alavarecha says in Kriya Shema. So that's what the Chavetz Chaim points out, that in today's Seder it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't ignore Avram Avinu. Ki daitiv, I love Avram Avinu. Ki daitiv, lemare sheitzaviz bonav es beis achrav lalechaz b'derach Hashem. He loves Avram Avinu because Avram Avinu is mechanech his children lalechaz b'derach Hashem. It doesn't mean that he saw to it that his children will eat the matzah and sit in the sukkah. That's only with the Rabbanon that was introduced generations later. But this is a din derais. You have to educate the children to teach them that later on when they grow up, they'll be able to do the mitzvahs properly. Sometimes you have a conflict between the chinuch derais and the chinuch derabbanon. Let's say sometimes a child has some kind of a mental block. You're going to force him to eat matzah now, he's going to resent it. And then when he grows up, he's going to run away from all the mitzvahs. And if you'll just explain to him, all right, you don't want to eat matzah, but the kid is a year or two before bar mitzvah, for some reason he's stubborn, he doesn't want any matzah. So sometimes psychologically, if you just explain to the child that next year you're going to be bar mitzvah, so you have to fulfill the mitzvah next year, so what would you say in such a case? So do you insist that the child, do you have to fulfill the chinuch derabbanon? then we insist that the child should eat the matzah and sit in the sukkah now, even though they're going to be crying and it may have a negative effect in the future. But he said, no, it's more important to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. So that's what they write, that the Yesh Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach, and he said, when you have a conflict between the chinuch deraisa and the chinuch derabbanan, you choose the chinuch deraisa. When things are normal, when a child is not in a bad mood, so then you insist on performing chinuch derabbanan also. So you insist the child should eat the matzah now too. But if you see that there's a problem, then we go for the chinuch deraisa and forget about the chinuch derabbanan. That's an indication of our ahavas Hashem. If we mechanach our children, shows that we love the Rabbanu Shlom's mitzvahs. Some people feel that they're going to leave the children will decide on their own what they want to do. They don't want to force. What do you mean they don't want to force? If you love the Rabbanu Shalom, then you want your children also to keep the mitzvahs. That's an indication of ahavas Hashem. I lost my car. I don't want to take it.